race to savings at Menards and start updating your home today. We offer an excellent in-stock selection of home appliances that are ready to take home today, including Criterion refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, and laundry appliances. They're built to help make your life simple. No matter how busy life gets, Criterion appliances are ready when you are. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Criterion appliances.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome, one and all, to episode 439 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and for this episode, we bring you the 2025 albums countdown. You guys, the audience, voted. I tallied the votes, put all the numbers together, the numbers, folks. And from that, this show came straight out of what you guys voted for.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Reminder that in addition to hosting Signals from Mars, I've also worked behind the scenes helping other podcasters. With over 16 years of experience and more than 1,200 episodes that I've produced or appeared on, I offer podcasting editing, ghost hosting interviews, and repurposing content into viral clips, show notes, transcripts, and social media posts. If you've got a podcast and need help making it sound professional, or if you want to turn your episodes into content that actually grows your audience, I can help. Check out the podcasting services page over at signalsfrommars.com. Just go all the way to the right on the menu. You'll see work with me, hover over that, and you'll see podcast services and sponsorship. Let me help you make your podcast stand out. Speaking of sponsorships, Signals from Mars is sponsored by listeners like you and also by great sponsors. If you've got a brand, product, or service that connects with rock and metal fans, I'd love to work with you. Our audience isn't casual. They're collectors, concert goers, and gear buyers who support the bands and brands they love. Sponsorship packages start at just $150 a month and include on-air mentions, social media plugs, and even product features. If you want to connect with a loyal rock and metal audience, head on over to the sponsorship page on signalsfrommars.com to learn more. I usually leave this for the end before I jump on into the interview or show segment outside of the quote-unquote monologue, but I do want to thank all of you people that are checking this episode out. There's a million other podcasts that you could be listening to, but you're listening to this. I'm trying to build the subscription base out on YouTube, for example. I'm trying to get to 1,000 subscribers. So if you're listening to this, please go over there and like and subscribe to the show. I've been getting more and more interviews lately. They will be slowly coming out in the next few weeks. And there's always that question of, well, what are your numbers? Who's the last person you spoke to? So on and so forth. A lot of the old school people still want to see those subscription numbers. So please help out with that. And I would greatly appreciate it. We're getting awesome numbers with the shorts. I've mentioned this in the past. And that's thanks to you guys. So any way that you could help spread the word about Signals from Mars, it is greatly appreciated. Signalsfrommars.com is where you could find all of the different social media platforms where you can find news regarding this show. You could find links to the not only the audio version, but also the video version of each episode. There hasn't been a just audio version in a very long time. Last one was Michael Wilton, and that was long, long time ago. I think we were still called Mars Attacks at that point. Anyway, I want to send a quick shout out to my patrons who are a big part of today's show. Sean Richmond, Tony Espin, Anthony Mackey, Ed Ferguson, Johan Edestrom, Metal Dan, Chris Vaglio from the song Swap Showdown, Gabriel Ruiz, Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, Brad Dahl from Yarg Metal, Mike Jones, Jeremy Weltman, Steve Hoker, and Steven Saylor. Pretty much all of these people voted, and a bunch of them appear during this episode. If they're not on camera, they're in the chat. So Tony Espin is in the chat. Got Sean Richmond in the chat. We've got, Brad Dahl and Ed Ferguson. And we've got Jeremy Weltman joining me as well on camera. This is a super fun episode. It was to recap all these great albums. I'm not going to give away too many things. I think for most, this was a surprise winner. Hang out all the way until the end and let me know what you think. Let me know if it's a surprise or it may have been your number one for the year. And for people that say that there's no good music coming out in 2025, 2026, here's proof. There is. Welcome to the 2025 countdown, albums countdown here on Signals from Mars. We're joined by Jeremy Weltman in the UK, Ed Ferguson in Kentucky, and Dr. Poison, president of Yarg Metal in Idaho, also joined in the chat by Edgar Winterson and Tony Espin, and there may be a few others that may pronounce themselves throughout the show. So cool.
Sean, glad to have those guys in the chat. That's cool. There's Sean Richmond.
Cool. So I've compiled a list of albums that people have voted on. They've sent me their 10 favorites of 2025. And for those of you that are new to this and joining us, what I do is for everyone's number one album, that gets assigned 10 points. Number two gets assigned 9 points, and it goes all the way down to number 10, which gets 1 point. 80 total albums were voted on. So there's a lot of good stuff that came out this year. As I like to say all the time, we help kind of fuel the fire for you guys to check out new music from new bands, old bands that maybe you lost track of, other bands that have come along the way that maybe you've never heard of, that may be just new to you, but they're not necessarily new. But anyway, we're going to go over the top 10 here, and this should be an interesting discussion. I'm trying to think if everyone that's here got an album in the top 10. Let me see.
I hope so.
I was going to say it's been good otherwise, talking to you guys that? Because usually all mine are at the bottom. So I'm a spectator most of the time, but. Maybe Testament will get me in there somewhere.
Surely, Testament's in the top 10, surely.
But if not, I'll catch up with you guys at the end of the show.
I'm sure there are other albums that you got a chance to listen to that maybe you could comment on. There's some of these that I've listened to the majority of the top 10. I've listened to the majority of the top 10. Can't say that all of them made my top 10. There are some that were nowhere near consideration for me. And there's one that I didn't really get a chance to check out. But anyway,
Yeah. Shots. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Shots fired across the bow there. All right. Let's, oh shit. I'm missing an important component here. See, this is what happens when you're rushing to try to get things done. You forget things. So bear with me one second, folks. I knew I was missing something. All right, there we go. So, all right. So this is an exciting part of the show where I am uploading graphics. Anyway, Brad, what do you think the number one is?
Ooh, wow. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not ready for this question. I'm going to go. I feel like the Testament's very strong with this group. So I'm going to go Testament.
Okay. Ed, what do you think?
remind me, did Ghost have an album this year or was it Sleep Token? It's one of those bands.
Both had albums this year.
All right. Well then I'll say Ghost.
Okay.
They won the last time they had an album out.
Fair point.
Jeremy, what do you think?
Well, frankly, I was going to pick one or two of those two. You know, I was going to pick or Ghost because I thought, yeah, it's likely that most of us have voted for them in our top 10. So I'll just give you an outside bet then as a just a bit of fun. I'll say Fury.
All right. Oh,
okay.
That's a good one.
People love that.
I don't think it will be, but you never know.
Would it surprise anyone if one of the bands that you guys just mentioned didn't make the top 10?
Yes.
Ooh. Yes.
That would surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so. I know who's going to be number one.
No, Donnie. you've already said it. Who?
Don Airey. It's a good album.
That Don Airey album isn't bad. All right.
It's better than bad. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some great stuff on there.
It's heavier than anything that Deep Purple has released in ages.
Yeah.
I'll say that. Plan.
Who's the singer on that, Jeremy? Do you know?
I don't. I can't remember. I need to
look it up.
Been quite a while since that was released, yeah.
The singer on that album is Jimmy Souvlaki.
Jimmy Souvlaki?
Sounds like
I like Souvlaki.
Very tasty Greek dish.
That's why the first thing that popped into my mind. All right. I am now ready to commence. I apologize. All right. So here we go.
Number 10.
All right. This album was released in September 26th of 2025. Had guest appearances from, I can never pronounce his name correctly. It is Michael Ockenfeld from Opeth.
Ooh, is this that is a good one.
How you pronounce his name?
Yep.
The name of the album is Portals, and it is The Vintage Caravan. So this is one that I did not check out. This is one that obviously I need to check out. Did anyone listen to this? And anyone have any thoughts on it? Brad, you listened to it.
Yeah, this was right there at my top 10. This is going to be in the middle of it. And I don't know. Other things pushed it out. I really like this album a lot. It's a good sounding album. It's not the same old stuff that, you know, anybody else is doing. And Ackfeld, whatever his name is, I don't know that his contribution was that great to the album, but I think it's fantastic. So well done. Well done, lads.
Jeremy, do you get a chance to listen to this one?
Yeah, I did. And I think when we did our regular monthly reviews, I think I gave it a good review at the time. I'm not sure whether it was actually my album of the week or anything, but because it's quite a while back. But yeah, I really enjoyed the album. And in fact, if you remember, Victor, I sent you my top 10, but I also sent you sort of three that were trailing behind that. And it was one of those. So it was there, you know, it was on the cusp of my top 10, really. And it was only because there was just so many albums and it just had to push out of the top 10. So yeah, really good music, very well produced. They've got like a nice, unique sound to it. And yeah, really enjoyable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I highly recommend it. And the boys are from Iceland. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know if they really work out of Iceland or if they've moved their headquarters somewhere else, but yeah, really, really nice stuff. They deserve to be heard. And the one thing I like about them is compared to some of the other albums that I liked that came out last year, this is a real band. These guys actually go out and play. Mm-hmm. And they're the real deal. Their live album that came out, I think, 2 years ago, Monuments Tour Live. Get that. Okay. Listen to that. That is some serious live music and just fantastic. Well, these guys can play. They can rock.
Okay. Ed, anything to say about Vintage Caravan?
No, I've not heard this one. But tell me what they sound like real quickly.
Wow.
Like, what would you compare them to? Because I've not heard it.
That's a really, man, that's
is it,
a
is it hard rock or does it cross on over to metal?
Yeah. It
or which?
It's kind of, I'm going to say, got a 70s vibe to it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, 70s rock.
But it's rock. I would say it's like 70s hard rock.
Yeah.
Is where I would place it. Yeah. I don't have a band that I would say, oh, these guys sound just like these guys.
No. Yeah. That does it. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Helps. Yeah, I'd love to chat with them though and find out what their influences are. And I mean, I think they're youngish guys, but not even sure of that. I think this is the fourth or fifth album.
I'm not sure. Let me see. But yeah. This is their.
I mean, it says their influences are Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple, and that's those sort of bands. So you can get the feel of what you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Deep Purple as far as the live stuff, because there's a fair amount of just jam in there where they're just blowing off each other. It's really good stuff. I play a fair amount of their music on Yard Metal.
All right. Victor, make sure later on this week that you post our list on Patreon so that I can remember to go back and check that out.
Yeah. I'll when I post this episode, which should be next Friday, I'll post the entire all 80 albums that were voted on.
Hmm.
All right. So
Number nine
was released on August 8th. Was recorded at Georgia May Studios and the Dark Garden. Clocks in at 48 minutes, 31 seconds. The label is Atlantic, produced by Dave Cobb. It is the sixth studio album by this band. Singles that came out off of this album. Like a Woman Can, Rain Your Blood on Me, Darkness Always Wins. And the title track, which is Everest. This is Hailstorm.
Oh, wow.
Quite a few people voted for this one.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm not a fan of this album. This is like the first Hailstorm album in a few releases that just did nothing for me. There's two songs that I like off of it. And listen, if this is your thing, then, you know, what the hell do I know? Enjoy it. But this album just kind of did nothing for me. Anyone want to discuss it?
Yeah, I didn't have it in my top 10, but it was, again, another one that was very close. I listened to it again quite recently, thinking I might put it in the top 10. I really enjoy it. I think it's good. I really enjoyed them playing at the Black Sabbath show, you know, for Ozzy. Yeah. I thought that Lizzie Hale was really good there. There's some real good rockers on here and some really good sort of choruses and melodies that she's doing. Yeah, it's a good album, a good rocker, and I can see why it's in the top 10.
Okay. Anyone else?
It's interesting to hear the two of you, one who doesn't quite like it and the other who thought it was really good. You see how it can always, every album hits people differently, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I haven't heard it, so I can't comment on it. So, but now that Jeremy said he likes it, I feel like I should listen to it. I listen to Jeremy.
Jeremy knows like the stuff.
The E.F. Hutton of music.
He is.
When he speaks, I listen.
He's like E.F. Hutton to you?
Yeah.
Remember
were you telling everybody to sell silver today, Jeremy?
Telling everyone to get a haircut today.
All right.
I'm going to listen to that album, though. I will listen to it.
Yeah.
Did Edgar Winterson just send us some Venom logos there? What is that? It's so tiny, I can't tell what it is.
Let's see.
Oh, it doesn't translate when it pops up on the screen.
From back here, it looks like snowflakes, and from up here, it looks like a Venom logo.
Yeah, could
be. The goat's head.
Yeah.
All right. So at number 8, this is the 17th studio album by this band. Released on August 29th, recorded between 2024 and 2025. This was recorded all over the place. It was recorded in Spain, was recorded in Germany. Comes in at 50 minutes, 35 seconds. The label is Raining Phoenix. Producers, Charlie, I can't pronounce this last name,
Bauerfeld,
and Dennis Ward of
Pink Cream 69.
Yeah. And when I say these singles, I know one of you is going to recognize this if they haven't already. But the singles in June, they released This Is Tokyo. And in July, they released Universe. This is Halloween with Giants and Monsters. Jeremy?
Yes.
You've been on a Halloween kick.
I have. I didn't like Halloween until very, very recently, I must admit. I never really got into the music. I even saw them once at Download Festival for about 5 minutes and walked away. But then I heard this album, and this album is monumental. It was just incredible. I just loved it. I loved every bit of it. I thought every song on it was amazing. I give it a 9 out of 10. It was my number one. I then went back and listened to the previous album, and I like that just as much. But anyway, on this one, it just starts off with, you know, with a great track, and it just ends with a great track. It's got a song called Majestic on it, which is incredible. Sounds like exactly the name that it's been given. The playing is fantastic. The singing is fantastic. And it's a very varied album. You know, there's some very commercial tracks on there, but there's also some sort of, you know, more power metal rockers. But they just know how to create a song. They are one of the greatest power metal bands because they, you know, listening to their music, they play the great songs of power metal. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Did you buy that album?
I did, yeah. I bought it on vinyl. And I'm really glad I did, because it's a cherished one in my collection.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Black and Yellow Swirl, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
I've seen it on social media.
Yeah.
I will say that I enjoy this album a lot more than the previous album. Like the previous album, it felt like they were trying too hard to make a Halloween album, where I think this album is a lot more varied, as you said, Jeremy. And I appreciate that. I like that there are elements that are classic Halloween from different parts of their career, but that they've also tried different things here where, you know, I feel that before they put this lineup together, they had become a Halloween tribute band. And for as much as people will say with other bands, oh, Judas Priest, they've only got two original members. No, but Priest is still putting out really good music. You know, Halloween, in my opinion, wasn't. For a good stretch of albums there, they put out a bunch of boring albums, in my opinion, that was just them copying themselves. So I appreciate this album. I like it a lot more than what I expected I would have. It was in my top 10. Don't remember where I put it, but I listened to it these last few days to try to get the ranking, and I enjoyed it. So, hey, Pink Bubbles Goes Ape has some pretty good songs on there, so don't knock. All right, let's move on here.
Number seven.
All right, this is the 9th studio album by this band. It was released on June 6th, was recorded between October to November of 2024. Clocks in at 44 minutes and 10 seconds, released on Vertigo, Republic, and Universal, produced by Jacob Hansen and Michael Poulsen. The singles off of this include By Monster's Hand, In the Barn of the Goat Giving Birth to Satan's Spawn in a Dying World of Doom, and Time Will Heal.
Wow. Can we have that song title again? I just want to hear what that...
In the Barn... Yes, In the Barn of the Goat Giving Birth to Satan's Spawn in a Dying World of Doom.
That must be the most metal song title I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
This album...
Is this Peter Criss's album?
Hey, the Peter Criss album made this list. So I'm not going to say where.
Wow. Wow.
Multiple people voted for it. I've yet to listen to it. All right.
You want to spend the money.
So it is.
Okay.
Gods of Angels Trust or Goat.
Wow.
By Volbeat. This is a band that I was supposed to see last summer before everything that took place while we were on vacation took place. It is a band whose early career I thoroughly enjoyed, and then they lost me for a few releases. And the last two, they've kind of righted the ship again. This is in my top 10. This, I think, is my number... 3, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it is. I had to listen to this several times again this week just to solidify its place within my top 10 to say, did I really like it that much? Did it really have, you know, the amount of songs that I really like, that I thought that I liked off of this? And it did. So, For anyone that hasn't listened to Volbeat, they're accused of sounding like Metallica at times. They're accused of sounding like Misfits at times. They're a mix of a lot of different things, and I can see why people would say those things, but Sean Richmond is saying... It's first first one on the list that I've listened to and also voted on, I believe. So, yeah. No. Anyone else listen to this album or just me?
No.
All right.
Just you. You and Sean. Sean, get on here and tell us what you think about this album since you voted for it. Come on.
All right. So let's...
We have yet to meet you, Sean. Come on.
All right. Goodbye. Citywide, whatever.
Number six.
All right. This is the 10th studio album by this band, released the 14th of February, 2025. Recorded between April and July of 2024. Recorded at Spun Studios. Clocks in at 46 minutes, 41 seconds. Label is Century Media. Producer is Marco Cotti Delanti. Six singles off of this album. They started, yeah, so there's songs that they started releasing before the full album was started to be recorded. So Never Dawn was released 15th of June, 2023. In the meantime, 18th of April, 2024. Hosting the Shadows, 31st of July, 2024. Oxygen, October 2nd, 2024. Then Gravity, January 9th of this year. And I Wish You Were Dead, February 10th of this year. There's a bunch of... guest appearances on this album. You've got Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, and you've got Ash Costello from New Year's Day. This was my number two, actually. This was number one for a good part of the year until I went away on vacation last summer. So this is Lacuna Coil and Sleepless Empire. Not sure if I'm the only one that's listened to this one or not, but I'm a huge fan of the band. Their last few albums have always been within my top three with these lists. This album felt kind of cold to me initially, and then I started listening to it, and then certain songs started to pop out to me. And again, much like everything else in my top 10, I gave it a few whirls the last few days, week, and decided that it would be my number two. So if you're into their style of music, I recommend you checking it out. All right. So
number six.
Right. This is the 10th album by this band, released on May 30th and recorded at Studio Bohus in Sweden. Clocks in at 40 minutes, 25 seconds. The label is Century Media, produced by Jens Bogren. And they released two singles off of this, both videos I posted on Patreon. On March 21st, they released Warhead, and on April 30th, they released In Fire Reborn. I'm laughing because of Sean's message. So anyway, all right. So this one... I don't know that anyone here listened to it. Ed, you may have given this one a listen. This is The Haunted with Songs of Last Resort.
Yeah, I recognize that, and I'm pretty sure I did, but I can't remember it now. And also, repeat, what number did you say that was? I felt like you said six twice.
Yeah, it's five.
That's okay, so my mistake.
Am this I is right? Five.
Okay. Number five.
It is five.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a few people voted for this one.
Yeah, remind me what it sounds like.
They're categorized as thrash metal, melodic death metal, groove metal. This is the band that Ola Englund is currently in.
Yeah, so I bet you it's probably still in my iTunes. You know, the problem with doing that monthly albums thing is I keep listening to the new stuff and I'm not getting to sink into the stuff I've been listening to along the way as much. So I can tend to forget something here and there. So glad we're reviewing it here.
So that's what I tend to do is I have, outside of what you're mentioning, I have a 2025 playlist where I just start throwing things that stood out to me so that when
I go
back and review, it's there. And that's how I kind of came up with my top 10. I was like, okay, well, what albums had the most amount of songs that I dumped into this playlist? And then I started going by that and then remembering which of those really just stood out to me.
I like Ola. I like watching his YouTube channel.
He's great.
Yeah, he's got lots of interesting content, and he's a very good player.
And he's got his own guitars.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
he's been very successful.
Yeah, if anyone's ever checked out, see that Sean Richmond is saying that was his number one.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought. Anyway. So Ola Englund is all over the place. He's a fantastic player. He's in The Haunted and he's in a few other bands. You know, their music to me is either hit or miss. I either really like it or just kind of not into it. But I get that there's a lot of people that are into the band. So. All right. So moving on here.
Number four.
This one was released on September 5th, 2025. There are two versions released on vinyl, two different colors, and it was limited to 500 copies each. This will either make people happy or make them say, why didn't this get up higher? But I think a lot of people will just be happy that it's on the list. I don't know. I know there's a diehard that will enjoy seeing them on here.
I'm happy it's on the list. I don't even know what it is.
It is Fury.
Oh, damn.
Interceptor. Jeremy?
Yeah.
Anything to say about?
Yes, it was on my list. It was in my top 10. I think they're a very, very solid band. Play, quite fast and furious hard rock, I'd say, rather than just metal. Although they cross over to sort of metal-y stuff. I think they like to call themselves a heavy metal band. They write good songs. They have a good sound to them, good vocal.
Of course.
And yeah, I'd love to see them live at some point. So yeah, it was a really good album because, you know, some of these bands, when they release one or two albums and then they get to, is this the third one? Maybe the third one, I think.
Good question. Let me see here. I think
at least three and maybe four. Yeah, three or four, I think.
This might be four.
But I think they're keeping the quality up. You know, that's the thing about them. And they've got their unique sound to them as well because of the vocal and the way the pace of the songs that they play. It's kind of a unique thing for them within that sort of new wave of classic rock sound. So, they deserve to be in the top 10. They're flying the flag for the new rock and metal, really, and getting all the young ones into it as well, which is great.
So this is album number...
five, is it? Right, okay, so they're done more than I thought.
The first album I have by them is The Lightning Dream, which is 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. So they've been around for a while. Holy crap.
Yeah, going a long time now.
Yeah, that's their first album. So they released The Lightning Dream in 2014, Lost in Space 2016, The Grand Prize 2020. Then they released a live album a year later, And then I interviewed them when they released Born to Sin, which was 2022.
Yeah. And that was a great album.
Four years ago at this point.
Yeah.
Brad, you also voted for this. So your thoughts on this album?
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly developed their sound over the years. I mean, where they were pretty much a straight up metal band to start with. And now I'd say that they're bringing in more accessible, you know, songs that I think could cross over to other people that aren't just, you know, heavy metal. I mean, you know, they've added, I think the woman who's singing quite a bit on this album, I think she's been around for quite a while, but never as much as on this album.
Right.
You know, she does a lot of the singing. So it's very polished. Yeah, it's a good listen, man. There's nothing. I mean, there's a couple of songs on there I'm kind of like, eh, on. But my problem is I can't get the album because they've got a problem with the U.S. and getting that over here. So I can't even download it. I'm still looking for a place to download it from.
Wow.
So come on, U.S., be better. Let these people get their music into our country. We need more good music in the U.S.
Have you tried on eBay?
Ooh, no, I haven't tried eBay. Is that still around?
It actually is.
Oh, newsflash. Breaking news here on Signals from Mars. eBay, it's still a thing.
Still a thing. If not, maybe this summer I can take it to the States and mail it to you if there's a way of...
That sounds like a lot of work. You got enough just getting your family over here. You don't have to worry about a CD for me. I think I might have to just go visit Jeremy and then we'll go buy it in the shops there.
There you go.
That's the one. You ask him anytime.
Can you actually like go buy this CD? Do you think in a store there in the?
Well, that's a good question. In a specialist rock store, I guess. Yeah. But you know, if you were over here, we could order it online and it would arrive the next day.
Ooh, there you go.
From how can I pronounce this without having Jeremy reprimand me?
Go on. I'm waiting for this one.
Me too.
They're from Worcester, West Midland.
They're from Worcester.
Worcester. Oh,
so it's said exactly like in Massachusetts then. Worcester. All right.
Yeah, I like how New England, Jeremy, has pretty much every place there is named after something in England.
The East Coast, the entire East Coast.
Like, that's how creative the people who left England to come here were. What shall we name this place?
Then again,
London.
Then again, you've got Mechanicsville and Intercourse in Pennsylvania. So
yeah, well, Pennsylvania is a totally different thing. That doesn't fit. That's not any kind of England.
All right,
Intercourse.
So we're getting into the top three here. Are we still betting for the same bands at number one? Jeremy, what did you say?
I said it was going to be between Testament and Ghost. Obviously, I said an outsider I was just going to go for was Fury, and we've gone past Fury now.
Okay.
You got top four. That's good. It's better than probably my guess. No.
Ed said Ghost. And Brad, what did you say?
Testament.
Okay.
That's what I'm crossing my fingers for.
Yeah, after listening to, which by the way, if you're watching this or listening to this and you haven't listened to the monthly new album review that that these three guys do, it's the best thing on the internet. I'm just going out there saying that right now. But after hearing these guys rave, all three of these guys raving about this Testament album, and I did listen to it.
We did.
I did listen to it. You can't deny that it's a great album.
So there you go. Voted number one. The number one voted album review show. So there you go.
I think that's the time that everybody picked the same album.
Well,
I mean, I realize Ed hasn't been there for the whole time, but it's probably the only time it will happen. I'm gonna say that.
No, I mean there are times where we overlap, but I mean, I think we try to give everyone different flavors so that, you know, there's more music to talk about. So yeah, that's what I think
makes sense. Another reason why this show is so great. Signals from Mars, everybody. I know you're watching, so I'm speaking to the choir here, but yeah, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell people you don't like.
Number three.
All right. Number three is the sixth studio album by this band, released on the 25th of April, clocking in at 46 minutes, 43 seconds, saying the label may give this away, but it's on Loma Vista. It was produced by Gene Walker. The singles off of this: on March 5th, they released Satanized, April 11th, Lacrima, and April 22nd was Peacefield. Jeremy is nodding his head yes. At number three, it is Ghost with Skeleta.
I'm surprised that it's that far down the list.
Yeah.
So for me, when I started reviewing the albums, my initial thought was, I remember not liking this album as much as the last few. And then thinking, okay, let me listen to it first. So it was one of the first albums that I checked out when I started doing my review. And it was at the top of my list. And then little by little, it kept getting pushed down. So for me personally, this is my number nine album. It's got good songs on it, in my opinion, but it just isn't as strong as the last two. The last two had songs that were, I think, a little bit more diverse. You had some like straight ahead 80s hard rock riffs in some of those tracks, that really made the songs stand out, the lyrics as well. And not that this album is bad, but it just seemed like this one wasn't as good. I don't know if the album was rushed. I don't know if he just didn't have the same themes in mind when, well, the themes are the same, but maybe he just didn't have, you know, the same luck with the music he was composing. I don't know. But a lot of people voted for this. It didn't end up at number one. It ended up at number three. So anyone else want to talk about Skeleta?
I'll go. I actually thought when this album first came out, I thought, well, this is going to be my number one for the year. And then I've been listening to so many other things after it came out. And I thought, well, I better, as the year was getting to an end, that I better go listen to that again. And I listened to it again and I was kind of like, I don't know. It doesn't feel number one to me anymore. But I listened to it just yesterday again. I really enjoy it. I think it's a very, very good album. And I really don't have much to say negative about it, other than I think Victor's right. It doesn't have like that, you know, songs that just grab you. And, I think the overall sound of it is a little bit just kind of, it's the same thing through the whole album, especially right. The drums. I have a real beef with drums nowadays that people don't, you know, take everything sounds too sterile and sanitized, and just like it be like, oh, this is the same drum sound I heard on this album and this album and this album. Like, come on, guys, bring some real drums into the studio and get some real drum sound. Spend some time on the drums. That's just me. I got off on a tangent there. But it's a great, I think it's a really good album. Very strong. Deserves to be in the top 10.
And I'm seeing that, what's their last album? Their last album is Impera, previous to this.
Yeah, I think Impera was a peak for the band, really. I think that it was an amazing album.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like AC/DC when Back in Black comes out and it's a peak for AC/DC. And then what was it, For Those About to Rock, that was the next one. And, you know, it's For Those About to Rock is a very listenable album, but it's just not there. And I just feel it's a bit similar with this Ghost album. It's got songs on it that are great, but overall it just doesn't have that appeal that Impera had. And Impera was a sort of had a great theme going through about the sort of fall of empires and that sort of thing, rather than just being a, you know, purely discussing ghosts and Satan and various things like that. It was all, you know, that had a real theme to it. And really great songs on the previous one. This one, three or four, great listen.
Yeah.
It's like Brad said, it's a good album. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not, you know, up there as the greatest.
Yeah. And I even think the prequel album, or however you pronounce that, I think that had some really, really good tracks as well that puts it above this one. But
yeah,
number three. So, all right.
Number two.
All right. So this is this band's 14th studio album.
Ooh,
was released October 10th, was recorded May to December 2024. Wow, this was recorded all over the place. Trident, Dragon Lair, Skull, Classic Recordings. Is 50 minutes 24 seconds, released by Nuclear Blast. Once I say the producers, you're going to know exactly who it is.
I already know exactly who it is.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, produced by Chuck Billy and Eric Peterson. Singles were, wow, I can't pronounce that. Infanticide AI?
Infanticide.
Yeah.
What's
infanticide.
That?
Infanticide AI. Yeah.
And then Shadow People. As we all know at this point, it is Parabellum by Testament.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. They deserve it.
What made this album stand out to you above other albums? I mean, we discussed this as recently as last month, actually, but
yeah.
What made this album stand out to you, Ed?
The added metal influences, especially the black metal influence, was just super interesting. And, you know, it's the kind of thing to where if someone tells you that they've done that before you hear it, you're going to wonder how that's going to play out. But when you hear it, they did a wonderful job. Chuck Billy, as always, he can handle vocals of almost any genre, I feel like. I've never heard him do a style that I don't like, except I just don't care much for the slow ballady stuff he does. But, like we discussed how they have a new drummer. And that might be adding some, you know, new influence. I know that Eric Peterson says that he spent time listening to some black metal bands in the last few years. So I think that's influenced it too. But don't be scared by that description of black metal. There's not so much there that it's not Testament. It's still very much Testament. They just, in some of the songs, they just add some extra spice and flavor and just and they keep it interesting, and they do it in a way that's, it's not cheesy or you know, it's not like they're trying to copy what the kids are doing. I mean, they really set a bar with this album. I think we had a really great discussion about that one on that October show. Yeah. So everybody should play that one if they haven't heard it already.
Anyone else want to add anything about the Testament album?
Yeah, I think it was a really varied album, which is quite unusual for the, because the last few, going back a few albums, I find the last three or four songs on the album are kind of just thrown on at the end, and they're a little bit sort of directionless, sort of very thrashy without any real underlying melody to them. Whereas on this album, I think it gets stronger and stronger. For me personally, it gets stronger and stronger as it goes on. So I really like the second half of the album, which is very unusual for a Testament album. I do love the ballad on
You're
it.
Right.
I think it's, the ballad for me is amazing. But it also adds that texture and tone to the Testament album, where you've got something for everyone, and it's kind of like it's a much more balanced output than they've done in you know many previous albums. So they, I think they've raised the bar, and to keep going at you know their kind of ages and their stage of their career, and pull out something out the bag like this, I think it's really good because it you know it's a really good listener all the way through.
And you have to brag again about Alex and his guitar solos. It's like he just gets better every time. And yeah, he adds a whole nother level of greatness to every song on here, especially that last track, Parabellum. It's just amazing stuff.
Excellent. So let me recap 10 through 2. So at...
So none of us got number one.
Oh, one of you guys got number one.
Oh, whoopsie.
Number one, and I'll get to that in a second. So let's see here. Let me go back. So at 10, we had the Vintage Caravan. 9, Hailstorm. 8, Halloween. 7, Volbeat. 6, Lacuna Coil.
I like the white noise in between albums.
5, The Haunted. Not sure where that's coming from. 4, Fury. 3, Ghost. 2, Testament. 1. I'm not sure where that white noise is coming from.
I think it's me. Let's see. Not me.
That's easy. That must be.
That wasn't me. I think it's Edgar. I think somebody better check in on Edgar. I think he's kind of gone. You know what's happening there in the chat.
It's Ed. Ed, you've got the white noise going on.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I muted you, it went away. But I mean, it's not really noticeable. So nobody.
Are you? I'm hearing the fan rev up in my notebook.
It could be that.
You think you're hearing something like?
It's...
Yeah, but that could be the fan.
It must be heating up. I might have to disconnect it. Or I'll just. Can you just mute me for a bit while you continue on with your numbers?
Yeah, I mean it's not noticeable.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so this is the 18th studio album by this band. This was a runaway number one. I did not expect this. Okay, this was not in my top 10. It's only on one of our top 10s. Any guessing?
Is it Alice Cooper?
Brad?
Well, you said one of us got this. I'm trying to think.
One of us got it. It's on one of our top 10.
Oh, it's on one of our lists? Yeah. You know, it's funny, Jeremy, because I thought, oh, yeah, everybody just because it's Alice Cooper are going to vote for that album. He's the most recognizable person on here. Peter Criss. Oh, wait. You said Peter Criss was on this list.
I did.
There's no way he could be number one. No way. Inconceivable.
He is.
Who knows?
he needs to come on the show. If he's going to be number one on Signals from Mars, you have to come on the show. I think that's a legal binding.
Yeah.
Thing. If you get number one, you got to be on the show.
Ed, so who do you think might be number one?
So you said Sleep Token had an album this year, right?
Yes.
So that was my second.
No, none of us voted for Sleep Token. No way.
It's definitely not on my list.
One of us.
I don't think I've heard you all talk about it that much either. So.
Okay. So this was released July 25th.
It's not Peter.
Recorded in 2024. Recorded all over the place. In Stamford, Connecticut. In Nashville. In Toronto. In West Los Angeles. In Phoenix. In Glendale. In Hollywood. Clocking in at 54 minutes, 20 seconds. Released on Ear Music. Produced by Bob Ezrin.
Oh,
the singles include
it is
Black Mamba, Wild Ones, Up All Night, and the only one out of us to vote for this was Jeremy. It is the Revenge of Alice Cooper.
Wow. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I knew it had to be, by the way, because I think you said it was his 18th album. So how many people have got 18 albums?
Right, and that's one of the things, as I was saying, that I'm
I missed that.
Yeah.
Sleep Token doesn't have 18.
Let's see how I'm giving this away by mentioning how many albums by each band. But go ahead.
Do you know what? I mean, I voted for it as my fifth album, but I'm kind of glad it's number one because Alice is, you know, he's old in the tooth now and he's done so much for rock and roll over the years. So it's nice to have him at number one because he's never going to be number one for us again. So this is it. And it was a really, really good album. If you listen to the tracks, it's proper old school 70s Alice Cooper. There's a lot of stuff on there that, you know, is just you put it on a vinyl, you stick it on your turntable, you get yourself a beverage of whatever you like to drink, and you just sit there and listen to it on a Saturday evening. And it's just one of those albums that takes you back. You know, they've got good songwriting ability on it. It's just a load of old guys doing something well. And I can see why a lot of people put it in their top 10 because, you know, there's a good quality about it. And I think it got good reviews as well through the year, you know, or in the magazines and what have you. And it's very well produced. And that's all I've got to say about it.
Oh, wait a second. Swarmy46 is saying, hey, homie, I can share your stream in a kick community to help you hit 200 followers and earn $1,000. Wow. That's awesome, dude. You're blocked. yeah, and this brings the this brings the original Alice Cooper band together, all of the members that are still alive. Obviously Glenn Buxton died back in 1997, but his guitar work is featured on three different tracks. This is an album that I enjoyed more than I thought I would. It isn't in my top 10, would probably be somewhere between 11 to 15, maybe 15 to 20 at the lowest. But still a good album. If you're a fan of the old 70s Alice Cooper band, this is definitely an album that I think a lot of fans of that band were chomping at the bit or champing at the bit, depending on how you say it, to check out and get these guys back together again. So, Brad, did you get a chance to listen to this album by any chance?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've listened to it more than a few times. I thought it was good. I didn't quite have the same love for it, obviously, that Jeremy has. I'm not saying he's wrong by any means. It's a good album and I enjoyed it, but I just, I don't know. It didn't get me as excited as some of the other things I listened to. I mean, it's on my list, but that's a big list. It's a lot of albums. A lot of albums. Yeah. So, and I'm going to say I enjoyed the Days of Jupiter album more than this Alice Cooper album.
Okay.
They didn't make my top 10 either, but it's a good album, people. Go listen to that.
Well, I think at the end, of it all, we've gotten a chance to talk about some really good music. Is there anything that sticks out that that you're going to check out that maybe you hadn't checked out or didn't give it as much of a chance previously? Jeremy, anything that sticks out to you right away?
Yeah, I mean, I want to listen to the Vintage Caravan again because it's quite a while since I listened to that. I'm going to give a Volbeat a go because you always mention Volbeat and I always say, you know, I'm not so keen on them. So I'm going to give that a go. Probably The Haunted as well because that's an album I just didn't listen to at all. So, yeah, give that one a go.
Okay. Ed, anything you're going to listen to after the show?
Yeah, that Alice Cooper. I need to hear that. For the first time.
Okay.
I somehow missed that. And then also that band you talked about at number 10.
The Vintage Caravan.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll like them. Listen to their live album.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you got to listen to this one too. It's great, great stuff.
Brad, any potential new songs that you're going to be adding to Yarg Metal after this? Anything that you think you'll check out that you hadn't listened to before?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hellstorm, I'm going to listen to that. Volbeat, I'm going to listen to that. Lacuna Coil and The Haunted. So those are the ones that I haven't listened to that were on that made our top 10. So good job, everybody who voted for these. I'm impressed. It's not the lazy listener top 10.
No, not at all. There's a mix of everything, and I hope that this serves.
Wait, 21 Pilots didn't make our top 10.
21 Pilots did not get voted on. There's a lot of other things that got voted for, but not
Turnstile 21. Didn't make the top 10.
Turnstile is on here, just not top 10.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
There were 80 albums that were voted for. So
that's the most impressive thing there, that we've selected 80 albums as our favorite albums of 2025. And I have to say, I keep getting hit over the head with 2025 albums that I'm listening to. It's like, holy crap, this is some really good music. This might be overall my favorite year out of the last 10 as far as new music. Really, really solid stuff people are doing. And
it was a good year.
Yeah, people need to listen to this stuff.
I'd like to do an honorary reminder of that song that Ozzy left us with last year, which is now on an album to buy. You know, I'm sorry I forgot to mention that on our show that we did last time, reminiscing on some things from last year. Mm-hmm. And was reminded of it when I saw Mark Striegel, you know, do a video on the album that he found, which now I've got to find that and buy that too. That'll be good to have in the collection. And it's got the Gods of Rock and Roll song, mm-hmm. I think, too, the original and maybe another version of it. I can't quite remember. But, you know, that song was marvelous. It wasn't just like just any song. It really hits you hard, being one of the last songs that he left us with. I don't know. He may have had one other song after that, but last year was heavy losing him. But it was neat to have that song left behind.
Yeah. Agreed. Will be interesting to see if we get any other Ozzy music moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any unreleased stuff or anything that he had worked with Andrew Watt on before passing away, or any unreleased material. There was also talk of of him signing over the ability of them training AI on his voice. So maybe there's a possibility that we will have new Ozzy music in the future, but having AI, you know, stand in for his voice.
Yeah. I don't know. That'll
be a conversation for another.
Yeah. Yeah.
Podcast
that is,
on it.
That is a whole nother topic.
I'll get the whiskey out for that one.
There you go. All right. So on that note, I do want to thank everyone who joined us tonight, Brad, Jeremy, and Ed. Want to thank everyone that joined us in the chat, Sean Richmond, Tony Espin, Edgar Winterson, and a few other scammers out there that joined us from various platforms. Sean,
hey, Richmond, hey Sean, tell your wife we said hi.
Yeah. So, great guys. Thank you so much. And we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.